What's up, Rip City? This is Jeremy Grant, and you're catching the breeze on Trailblazers Balcony with Brooke Olsendan and Casey Hodall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to the Blazers Balcony, episode 94 of the Blazers Balcony. I am Casey Hodall, coming to you live to tape from Las Vegas, Nevada. She is Brooke Olsendam, coming to you live from the Lake House in Idaho. Brooke, how are you doing over there?
I'm okay. This is interesting. These are the two most interesting places we've not been together to do the podcast, Las Vegas and Idaho.
Yeah, I think usually one of us is at home still, and one of us might be kind of out somewhere else.
Yeah.
But usually for both of us to be somewhere else and recording over Zoom is pretty uncommon, because if we were both somewhere else, we would be on the road with the team, then we'd do it together. But things being as they are, Las Vegas Summer League starting here in mere hours. The siren song of the lake in Idaho, which, by the way, what lake is it?
Coeur d'Alene.
It's Coeur d'Alene Lake. Okay, I didn't know if we weren't disclosing that for security purposes. No, or
it's quite. I just posted on my Instagram. Where are you? You put the location. So clearly, I don't care, and I talk about it all the time. And it's a huge lake. So I mean, I could say I have a place in Coeur d'Alene. I mean, that means really nothing, because you could be up by the resort, which is as north as you can get, is where the really nice golf course is. You know, the first floating green. I think there are many now that have floating greens, but that's where it's really busy and active, and you know, all the water sports you ever wanted are up there. So it's really choppy. So I prefer down where we are, which is more south. Not as many boats. You can ski. It's more relaxed. You can still go across the way to this little place we go to almost every day. It's a little town called Harrison, Idaho. And actually talked about it on a broadcast towards the end of the season when Kevin Calabro was like, so what are our summer plans going on? Brooke was like, in the fourth quarter, I was like, well, you know, we're going to go to Coeur d'Alene. And we go to, he goes, where we go? Where's our haunt? I was like, it's a place called One Shot Charlie's. Yeah, no shoes, no shirt. You'll get the best service of your life. You know, it's like one of those really people just, you know, walking in and out with their beer. It's very, very chill. It's what you'd expect like a lake bar to be like in Idaho. So we go there all the time. So it's way chill down here. We love it. They actually had a fireworks thing. They have it every single year, a show that they save money. They raise money all year for Harrison to have a fireworks show, and sometimes we go in the boat, so we're closer, like a lot of people. But we're still in, we can see, we're across the way. But ironically, there's a bay that's right next to ours that have like really fancy pants cabins. Like they're homes that are huge homes, mansions. One has like a basketball court behind it, one has a helicopter pad, that kind of fancy. So they had their own fireworks show, and it was way better than Harrison's. Like,
yeah, of course,
they're going on at the same time. And I'm like, I feel bad for our little buddies over at Harrison. This, whoever this guy is in the next bay, you know, some millionaire, had an amazing show, which we kind of ended up watching, obviously, more than the Harrison show. But it's always fun up here on the fourth.
And, you know, you can't gate a fireworks show. So, like, you know, if you set it off, like, anyone could get to enjoy it. So
that's true.
I was having a discussion with my wife. For the most part, like, fireworks, you know, I don't mind them, but they don't really do a whole lot for me. Mm-hmm. But like, I do want to see one of those fireworks displays where like the fireworks like make things.
Oh yeah.
And I never have. And so like my goal now for a 4th of July, before whenever this thing is done for me, is to see a fireworks display that like makes little structures, not just like, you know, the burst. Like it actually like,
yes, I know what you're talking about. Like, well, so Harrison, last year they had those. They had like, I think, a heart, a star, you know, nothing crazy, but they went into shape.
Yeah.
And we're like, that is so cool. So those became our favorites. And then this year they didn't have, we're thinking that it was a rough year raising money over at Harrison for the fireworks show,
because
it was
that.
Not the best it's been, and they didn't have those anymore. So I guess we got to go over and pay more than we have in this past year, because we didn't get a very good fireworks show. I guess it's on us as a community.
Yeah, well, that's okay, Brooke. I did want to ask one more thing too. So when you talk about going to One Shot Charlie's, do you guys boat over there, or mm-hmm. do you?
Yes.
Man, see, like I've always wanted to like use a boat to get from place to place. Like I'm not
this
really
is your spot.
that big into boats or anything, but just the idea that like, no, I don't have to get into a car, like, or I don't have to walk. Like, I'm gonna use some other kind of transportation. Mm-hmm. That's always been very appealing to me. I really like that idea. So I'm glad to see. So you guys just like hop in the
boat or the jet ski
boat and just
Just head on over. So what's interesting, so it gets obviously super crowded over holidays, especially the 4th of July. A lot of people just pull their boat up, small or large, and just stay there all weekend. Like they sit out on the dock, they got their music, they got their chairs, and then they sleep on the boat. And that sounds fun, but we just go over there for a couple hours a day. So we go over on the 3rd of July. We don't even mess with it on the 4th of July. You know, we just skip it. But on the 3rd, and it's a big marina, pretty big. I would say if I had to guess, like normal sized boats, I bet it has room for 100 maybe. And we got over there and it was packed. We're like, I don't think we're going to find a spot. And Scott, my mom's husband, who used to be a pilot, he's very good. He used to have a huge boat and we would be amazed the places he was able to park this big, huge boat. Well, now he's got a smaller one. And we found one spot in between two big yachts, you know, not yachts, but, you know, big boats. And everyone was like looking at us like, there's no way you guys are going to get in there. I'm like, you like watch and learn, you know, like he's going to turns it around just perfectly. And we jump out and everyone was like, wow, that was impressive. So we got the last spot on the 3rd. So that's just goes to show how crazy and busy it gets. But lots of go Cougs when you're over there. You see a lot of Coug hats. You have to say it to each other. So that's always fun because. Yeah, I see people that you went to college with and how they're running, their kids are running around like, how you been, Steve? And it's fun.
Well, that was Vandals country.
No, I mean, you see them every once in a while, but now it's more Coug country. Yeah. There are some Vandals, but well, what's funny is that's so funny. Yesterday we were walking down the dock and this guy had an Apple Cup t-shirt on and I said, go Cougs. He goes, wait. And I go, oh, actually, I'm taking a 50-50 shot here. He goes, yeah, I'm the other guy. So I'm like, oh,
damn.
And I can just assume, but no, there are Huskies over here as well. But yeah, it's fun. It's just a time I look forward to all year is the 4th of July here at the lake. You'll always find me here. Someone on Instagram is like, do you just repost what you post the last year? Because I realized I was in the same shirt at the same spot taking the same picture. And then I posted a picture of the flags out on the, and I'm like, that's true. This is exactly what I posted last 4th of July and probably the 4th of July before, but they are new, real, authentic. They're not, I'm not that lazy.
Brooke is actually delivering original content.
Yes.
From the lake cabin. She is not pilfering her own work, which I have started doing, by the way, just to bring this back to basketball a little bit. So every year I write like a free agency kind of primer about, you know, just kind of like, this is the general gist of free agency. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to talk about it anyways until after the moratorium, which the moratorium is over. So while we're not going to discuss free agency a whole lot, we can at least like make reference to it now. And when things don't change, I'm like, well, if the explainer I wrote last year is just as good as the explainer I could write this year, the only thing I have to change is who the players are who are going into free agency. I was like, to hell with it. I did a pretty good job with this the first time. I'm just going to use it again. So, yeah. So if you read my free agency primer from last year and there was a twinge of like, I feel like I've read this before. You have, because I just copied my own work and used it again. So
I don't think that's lazy. I think that's efficient.
Well, I would agree too, because literally I would just write the same thing. So why sometimes, you know, like why come up with a new way to say the same thing when the last way you said it worked just fine anyways. So, you know,
I'm proud of you.
Smarter, not harder.
I love that. And I will say that I did read it and it was great.
Thank you, bro. I don't believe you, but I appreciate you saying that. So as I mentioned, I am here in Las Vegas for the start of the NBA 2K23 or whatever Las Vegas Summer League. I just call it the Las Vegas Summer League. They don't pay me enough to tack on the branding to it. And should be pretty exciting stuff, Brooke. On the team begins on Friday. That is July 7th. So if you're listening to this Thursday, it's tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Friday, hello from the past and turn on some basketball this afternoon. Blazers taking on the Houston Rockets 4 p.m. Thomas Mack Arena on ESPN. Day later, San Antonio, Victor Wembanyama, stay away from Britney Spears, my dog.
That is the wildest.
Like, I mean, I assume that that's BS, but like, yeah, if you, you can't mess with Britney Spears, man. Like, that's a bad move. Like, if that actually did happen, someone in your crew needs to like go to a shrine and like make sacrifice to an altar, because you are going to have Britney Spears's army ready to go. So Victor, I'm telling you, man, if you don't want your career to be completely cursed, you got to get right with Britney, because she's back. And she's got staying power. She was here before you got here. She's probably going to be here long after you're gone. Don't mess with Brittany, man. Like, just it's toxic.
Like, did you do that on purpose?
I did do that on
purpose. Oh, nicely done. I thought it was fake. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, hold on. What am I reading here? This got to be something silly. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like it really happened. No, maybe it didn't happen the way they said it happened, but something happened involving Victor's and I guess security and Britney Spears, which is just funny to say out loud. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how it really went down.
And the thing that isn't really explained in what I've read is that, like, where's her entourage? Like, I would
sounds like she just got up and went over with
Spears' entourage would be bigger and more roughneck than Victor Wembanyama's entourage. Like, again, she's Britney, bitch. Like, I mean, like, she's not,
I agree with you.
She's got an army. She's got riders.
I'm actually most impressed that Britney Spears knew who he was. You know what I mean? I don't see her as an avid NBA watcher or, you know, follower. She likes to dance a lot. When I think of Britney these days, she's, you know, with her kids and doing dancing on her TikToks. And so the fact that I guess he probably stands out a little bit at 7'4". So maybe she didn't know and then asked around and then was like, oh, that's cool. Or if she did know already, then that's pretty, I'm impressed, Britney. I'm impressed with your knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then to end up getting assaulted too, allegedly. I'm guessing it probably didn't happen that way. Full disclosure, like, I don't know anything about it other than the garbage tabloid stuff I've read. So please don't sue me, anybody. But
it sounds like she put her hand out and it like was pushed the hand away and somehow she hit herself in the face. I don't know.
And you got a video too that, like, I bet Britney, I wouldn't be surprised if she's wearing some rocks on her too. So like, you know, if someone hits her in the face and her, you know, 5-carat, you know, turquoise diamond gets lodged in her eye, you know, like I could see that.
She would have a turquoise diamond.
Long story short, I hope that whatever happened between Victor and Britney Spears gets smoothed over, because I don't want to see that guy's career get submarined right from the start. So
her army's going to be down there in summer league.
Though, if that gets Britney Spears to cheer for the Portland Trailblazers in the July 9th game versus the San Antonio Spurs, which is at 5 o'clock start on ESPN2 at Thomas and Mack, then, you know, I think worst things could possibly happen. So maybe we should get working on being like, hey, Britney.
Yeah.
If you really heard about this and you really want to get this guy where he's going to feel it, join up with the Rip City Portland Trailblazers. We'll stand for you, Brittany. I already am, anyways. I think Brittany is great. Shout out to
her. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Is it hot there? I assume it's scorching.
It is hot. It's about, but it's not like dumb Vegas hot. Actually, I mean, it's like 105, which obviously is hot. But like Vegas, I've been here for summer leagues where it's like 110, 115. So like you walk out of the airport, and you know it's like a slap in the face rather than a punch in the face, which Vegas can be quite often. So, and I'm staying at one of the newer hotels, Resort World, which has a lot of the amenities that Casey really likes. Circus is right next door, which I know Circus is old and kitschy, but they have one of the best steakhouses in Las Vegas, and the rides are actually pretty fun. It's a great way to spend some time if you want to dry out a little bit in Las Vegas. They got the Peppermill across the street, which is one of my favorite restaurants, up to and including because it was in Casino, which is one of my favorite movies. And also, like, it's very kind of Vegas loungy. It's a great place. Check out the Peppermill if you haven't already. And there's also a McDonald's. It's right next to the street. being a McDonald's devotee, that means something to me as well. And also, too, like, as people who maybe follow me on social know, like, I like going to McDonald's and other places to, like, see the vibe of those McDonald's is. So like that really, again, that speaks to that really meets Casey where he's at. So, and the idea was that we'd be close enough to where the team is staying at that we would be able to maybe ride the buses. I don't know if that's going to be the case. While it's not like ridiculous Vegas hot, it's still Vegas. So I don't know that I can walk necessarily a mile to where the team is staying at, but long story short, we'll be at every single game, at least the first four games, which includes the Tuesday, July 11th game versus the Charlotte Hornets at 5:30 on NBA TV, and then wrapping up their pre-tournament play by facing the Orlando Magic July 13th, 6 p.m. start time on ESPN2. Once again, all those games nationally televised. one, speaks to kind of the interest in the Trailblazers at Summer League this year. Obviously, Scoot Henderson being a big name. I think the combination of Scoot and Shaden together, something that we might talk about here a little bit in a minute, is also going to be very interesting for fans. Obviously, the Scoot going up against Amen Thompson, the fourth pick, Victor Wembanyama, the first pick, and Brandon Miller, the third pick. Like, that's pretty cool stuff there, too.
Yeah.
And then one of the other nice things is, you know, just someone who's been doing coming to Vegas for over a decade now for Trailblazer games, is that usually we end up with the night games because, you know, we're Portland, and particularly from a Summer League perspective, I don't know that there's always like a huge national interest in what we're doing at Summer League. And when you got the night game, like, you know, you get done at the game gets over at 9, you got to work for a couple hours after that. And while Vegas is a kind of up all night kind of town, like, you know, it's a little bit of a punch in the gut to be like, yeah, no, I'll meet you guys at, you know, 12:30 when I'm done working.
Yeah.
But since there's interest now in what the Trailblazers are doing, particularly nationally, in order to play games on the East Coast, they have to put them in the afternoon here in Vegas, which gives you the opportunity to do some things out in Vegas, like, you know, charity work and subscriptions and, you know, all the things that people usually associate with what they do in Las Vegas. So from the schedule to the national media attention, at least in terms of the broadcast, to having some very interesting players to watch and, you know, potentially guys who are going to be playing a lot of minutes next year, depending on how things kind of shake out over the rest of the offseason. Pretty fun, exciting stuff here in Summer League, Brooke. And that's easy enough to say because it hasn't started yet. Mm-hmm. Ask me in 4 days how I feel about Summer League. But I'm really looking forward to this Summer League, Brooke. And I think it's going to be, again, there's more interest in what Portland is doing in Vegas this year than probably any time in the last 7 or 8 years.
I just realized that you meant the guys can do charity work before their games. I thought you were joking that you were out there doing charity.
Well, no, that was
work.
Me. I was making that's good. What you do in Vegas, which is obviously not what you do in Las Vegas. Okay. So there is a church right within a view of my hotel room. So if I did want to get religion, I would have the option.
I'm going to go with probably not this week.
Probably not this week.
I don't see it happening. You got the Red Pepper Mill right across the street. So you got your spots, your places. And by the way, the McDonald's, one thing to add, the thing about McDonald's that I really appreciate and respect is that you're right. No matter where you go, you always get the same exact thing. Like, it's not, and they rarely screw up your order. Like, I maybe can kind of one hand something when I didn't get something that, or I got something different, but like you get the breakfast burrito. It's the same exact breakfast burrito. No matter where you go, and the filet of fish, even though they've made the cheese smaller over the years, which really bothers me. It's like so small that it's the same wherever you go. Like, the consistency is something I appreciate. That's all.
I feel like filet of fish is like one of the only situations where like fish and cheese go together.
Yeah, it
like
is.
Cheese otherwise with fish, I'm always like, I mean, I love cheese. I mean, it's maybe my favorite food, but like, it just doesn't really work with fish.
It doesn't.
Or with seafood in general. Maybe, you know, a little parm or something, a little bite, little umami. But other than that, yeah, like putting American or cheddar cheese on anything, it's kind of weird, except for the filet of fish, which is delicious.
Exactly, I appreciate right, them inventing, and I know it's different at other places. It was the fish witch at Burger King, and you have to add, if it's the same, you have to ask for cheese on that one. So McDonald's, you know, does it right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say too, since I am here in the desert, nothing quenches the thirst like Hi-C orange flavored Blizzard Blast or whatever they call it, which they recently brought back a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And the folks at McDonald's were kind enough to actually send me a care package that
included
a orange Hi-C bucket hat and an orange Hi-C fanny pack as well. So
I'm so jealous.
I always have to shout them out every single time. Sponsor the podcast, McDonald's.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. No, but I'm excited about this Summer League. Obviously, I'll be watching from here, from Idaho, but I'm family affair. We'll all gather around and watch. And it's exciting. I'm not to say that past Summer Leagues haven't been exciting or you're not like looking forward to them, but this one, like you mentioned, like the big names, everyone wants to see Victor, obviously, but yeah, Scoot, people, you know, been sending me texts throughout the league saying how excited they are just to see him play. And so they're like, kudos, that's going to be fun for you to have Scoot, and he's going to be a really fun guy to cover for you. I'm like, yeah, no, I've already interviewed him. He's great. And I just can't wait to see, well, you know, you keep hearing these amazing glowing reviews of about him. And I just can't wait to see it in action. You know, like, let's see, I'm pumped. Let's see it, because I don't know, it's kind of hard to put all that, not really pressure. It doesn't seem like a guy that pressure gets to him just from the couple of chats we've had.
Yeah, I don't
doesn't feel
either.
Like that. Yeah, so I don't think that will affect him. But this summer league, it's just gonna be nice to have them get some minutes together, and for us kind of to see what we're gonna, you know, expect for this, for the regular season. So I'm pumped about it. I'm excited to watch from my air conditioned kitchen.
Absolutely. And, you know, I talked to Shaden about kind of partnering with Scoot here and kind of just his initial thoughts. And I thought it was a really interesting one. Like, I thought Shaden did a great job in the interview. It went on for 9 minutes, which might be at least my personal record with Shaden. And it was 9 good minutes too, I thought. Please listen to it on the other podcast that we don't talk about on this podcast. Even though I mentioned this podcast on that one, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And I thought it was interesting that Shaden, the part that I thought I was most surprised by was not anything he said about kind of like the way they play or like feeling like he's a good player. And he talked about, you know, he gets out in transition. Like he's the kind of guy you wouldn't want to play against, but he's great to have on your team. But that he acknowledged the idea that he thinks it's going to be fun to watch them play,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, like I'm not really accustomed to Shaden kind of talking about those kind of things, like sure. being like, you know, like he's a guy who I think he obviously has an idea that like the things that he does, particularly like his ability in the air, is something that people are interested in. But he also kind of doesn't pay a lot of attention. And, you know, like he also like doesn't get baited into like, oh, you guys want to see me dunk? I'll dunk now. You know, like that's not like that's not his thing. And so for him to say explicitly, like, I think we're going to be fun to watch, like, I kind of took that as like mm-hmm. a real kind of honest assessment about one, just his thoughts on that partnership, but two, like what people want to see or like just it showed me a level of kind of like growth in him a little bit that I know this is sound weird from just like parsing a few words, but like it just seems like something that he wouldn't have mentioned last season, like playing with these guys is going to be fun to watch. Like, and so, you know, particularly going into summer league where the stakes are pretty low, it's not about wins and losses. It's about, you know, kind of improvement mm-hmm. and getting better. To have Shaden be like, yeah, I think we're going to be fun. Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
I think it's really cool. And Shaden isn't one of those guys, you know, covering him for as long as we have. He is not one of those guys that's going to say something just to say it, like, you know, like, okay, I don't really understand the question, so I'm just going to be like, we need to give it 100%. Or, you know, he doesn't have those little phrases like in his back pocket, like that just throws him out. Like they're just, you know,
yeah, no, his phrases. What is this for?
Yes, exactly. That's in
what? Like, yeah. So like, he'll stop the interview and be like, wait, what? And
yeah. He's not like, going to give you like a canned answer. He'll really want to know, like, I don't understand why you're asking me that. And then you explain to him, well, this is why. Okay. And then, you know, he'll give you an answer. But I remember one time, I forget what the question was, but he really, it wasn't like he didn't understand, but he just didn't, I guess it was confusing. That's on me because I don't remember what it was, but it was confusing. He just looked at me and like just wasn't going to answer. So I just like moved on to another question. Yeah. He just like stared at me rather than be like,
face where he kind of like, yeah, he like, did. Goes off he to one it. Side and kind of like,
yeah. And I'm like, just move on to the next one, bro. Yeah. Because he's not going to he doesn't have that in him to BS you. He just won't answer it because he doesn't want to or didn't understand it. So I appreciate that. And so my point is, and it's taking me a long time to get there, he's not going to say anything that he doesn't really mean. And he's not just giving you canned answers that sometimes, you know, after a game, guys, you know, they just want to get to the locker room. They
might just fall into a routine about
speed it up. But Shaden will not be that guy. And he'll whatever he says, he truly means. So if he says he thinks they're going to be exciting, he wasn't fed that. He's saying it because he believes it.
Absolutely.
And
so
I agree.
In discussing summer league, you know, in talking to the players, everyone wants to win a championship again, you know, and I thought Jabari was great about it. He's like, yeah, I want to win another one. Like, it's like, I already got one from one hand. I want to have a ring for the other hand. And I was like, yeah, no, that's, I like that, Jabari. But, you know, summer league is about improvement and it's about like, I mean, like winning a championship, the summer league championship is fun, but like, that's like third or fourth on the list for me of like the important parts of summer league.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you kind of consider what do you want to see at summer league or like, what would be a positive summer league? What would be one or two things that you would take from it that you would be like, all right, like I feel good about that going into next season. Like, I feel like I understand something now that maybe I was a little didn't understand or was concerned about before. And I have a few of those things, Brooke. And obviously, I think kind of the big one is like, what's a Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp backcourt look like? But I think there's a few other things as well. So I'll put it to you first, Brooke. Maybe what is maybe one or two things that you would like to see come out of summer league?
Well, yeah, obviously that's the most exciting. And you and I weren't, we didn't really have a feeling that Shaden was going to play in Summer League. So this is great.
I was told at the end of the season he was not going to play.
I remember.
And I asked him about that. And he said, he's like, well, there are a couple reasons. One, like, we got three new guys on the team. And I kind of feel like I would like to get to know these guys on the court before, you know, as early as we can. And he was like, and I didn't get to play last year. He was like, I played for 3 minutes. I got injured and that was that. And so, yeah, I'd like to maybe have a chance to get out there and kind of show what I can do in front of a Summer League crowd, which, again, like, it would have been very easy for Shaden to be like, no, I'm good. And the team would have been like, yeah, no, you're straight. Don't worry about it. So for him to go out there, like, again, like, I think that shows a little something. And he also mentioned kind of like, you know, it's me, Jabari, and Keon who were on the team last year. Everyone else is new. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I need to maybe work on being a leader a little bit and maybe kind of try to, you know, help some of these guys.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, which I think is some real growth for Shaden.
I think it's great. I was pumped when I saw that he was. I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming, but I agree with it. And I hadn't even really thought about the fact that he didn't really get to, I mean, I know he didn't, but I'm like, that makes sense that I didn't really get to do it last, you know, I tried, gave it my all, but you know, when you get injured, he was there, but he wasn't able to contribute. So this year I get it. And I love the fact that he's like, I want to get to know these guys. I mean, that shows personal growth right there, where that's something that's important to him. So to answer your question, Scoot and Shaden together. Can't wait to see that. And also just, you know, everyone keeps talking about the Blazers, you know, in a kind of a youth movement right now, right? So it's interesting and exciting to me to see what we can expect to see in the regular season. And the unanswered question, I guess, for me is like, what kind of team is this going to be? You know, not just the culture of it, but with these young guys, like, what's their trademark going to be? Are we going to, you know, is it going to be defensive motivated? Because I mean, Scoot talks about his love for defense all the time. So what's the focus going to be? Or what's this team going to be known for? And so because the youth is there, this is a great time and experience for them. And so I'm just looking to see, like, what kind of team this young group, what they provide, what we're going to expect to see, like I said, their trademark, if you will. So I think it's going to be fun. I think they're going to be feisty. I'm looking to defense leading to offense, looking for some Shaden dunks. But yeah, it's the unknown, I guess, is what I'm excited to see. And I know it's going to take a while. And you just mentioned it, like, winning a title. It's fun. It's cool. That'd be fun if they did it. But this is a learning time. This is a getting to know each other time. And if they just happen to win, fantastic. But it's getting to know each other. And it's really a skill to figure out how to play alongside your teammates, especially when you haven't done that before. So Shane's going to have to try to figure out, you know, Scoot's game. Scoot's going to try to figure out Shane's game and vice versa and the rest of the guys. So looking for the team chemistry, what that looks like. And again, it's just starting off in Summer League. It's going to take a while, but what better time than now? So good job for you, Shaden, for coming along.
Absolutely. And for me, like, I think I'm probably most interested outside of kind of like what the backcourt looks like, just the forward situation. So Jabari Walker had such a good Summer League last year, earned himself a contract when I think a lot of us assume that maybe he'd be a two-way guy. The fact that he was able to get a contract with his Summer League performance, I think, really showed a lot. Didn't end up playing as much during the regular season as I thought he might after Summer League. And plenty of reasons for that. But, you know, so I'm curious to see how he looks in Summer League this time around. And, like, is he able to build on what he did last year? Like, is he able to show kind of some of those skills? He's a guy who's very excited to get out here and I think kind of show what he can do and some of the stuff he's been working on. You know, he was talking about, you know, he's been investing a lot of time and energy kind of into himself and, like, understanding who he is as a person and like kind of going on a journey outside of just like what he's doing on the basketball court, which I thought was cool.
Well,
and, you know, the other part of that as well is like Chris Murray. Like, you know, I think the Blazers have been kind of looking for a guy like Chris Murray for a while, kind of like a 3-and-D style forward. And I'm curious to see kind of how he looks at Summer League to see like just how ready he is, you know, a guy who, you know, is going to be 23 when the season starts. So a little bit older already, who would lead you to believe that perhaps he might be able to step in right away and kind of assume a role, which I think would obviously be super helpful for this team. There's been some reporting about free agency stuff that, you know, at the forward positions that we can talk about here in a second. So it's not like he's going to get thrown to the wolves or anything, but like, I think seeing what they have in Chris Murray, I think for me is kind of one of the more interesting parts as well. Like, and so those are kind of the things for me. So I'd say the backcourt. I think kind of Bagi is another guy too, who we haven't really got a chance to see a whole lot. I'm expecting him to play quite a bit at Summer League. So I'm curious to see kind of how far along he is. Team announcing today that both Bagi and John Butler Jr., who is also on the Summer League team, getting their second round of two-way contracts when in the season. Congrats to both of those guys. I imagine that John Butler Jr. is also going to play a lot at Summer League as well. So, which is interesting too, because you got a guy at like 7'1", and you know, like I got like 30 pounds on John Butler at 5'11", but you know, like he's getting, I don't know if I'd say he's filling out, but he's bigger than he was before. And so just the idea of like having a 7-foot tall guy at small forward, which is what he said, it's kind of the position he's been playing at some of the practices, is, you know, that's an interesting little wrinkle that I'd be curious to see how that plays out. And then, you know, like last year with the repeat, again, I'm not like super concerned about it, perhaps because I didn't get a ring last year. And if I had, maybe I'd be more concerned about the Summer League championship. Hint, hint, not that anyone cares, but yeah, I think like how much of a motivating factor is that for the guys too? I think it's kind of an interesting thing. So, and then how Scoot and to a lesser extent Shaden match up against kind of the other big name rookies that they're going to be playing against. And I know I keep talking about in terms of Scoot, but I do think like Shaden, that's an interesting kind of marker for him as well. In that, one, we didn't really get to see him last year as a rookie at Summer League. And two, just the idea that like, you know, Shaden's still, just turned 20. So like he could conceivably have been in this class. If he had gone back to Kentucky, obviously, and played one season, he would have been in this class. So I think that'll be an interesting marker too, to kind of see like, what's the difference between a guy who would have gone top three in the draft this year, but happened to play a year's worth of NBA basketball last season. So there's a lot of stuff there. So it should be exciting no matter who's playing. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if kind of some of the guys who are under contract for next season maybe played some games, didn't play some other games. But even then, when you get further and further down the roster, still interesting stuff. And again, like if you're someone who's really into the G League and wants to kind of get a running start on what the Rip City Remix is going to look like this year, every time those guys are on the court, basically you're probably going to be looking at a guy who could conceivably be on the G League team next year. So that's also pretty interesting as well. And a new wrinkle for this team.
And to your point about Jabari really focusing on himself and improving, I'll tell you, when we were there for workouts, for draft workouts, I saw him all the time, more than anyone. I was Jabari, every turn I made to go see like Taylor in the back or to go see Ida Bath or whatever, Jabari's going to treatment. He's going here. He's going back to lift weights. I just was so noticeable. It happened so much. It was noticeable to me. I'm like, man, Jabari is always here. So that's great. That's just a side note, something I noticed. And when you said that, I'm like, that makes sense to me, because every time I was there, he was doing something to improve, you know, in the practice facility. And Ryan Rupert, I'm excited to see him.
Which I heard him referred to as Roops the other day.
Oh, that's a lot easier. But that was fun. I like Ryan Rupert.
Yeah, I'm going to use his full name until.
Yeah,
like,
he's a full name guy. Yeah, but I mean, just because, I mean, for me, I was loving reading everything that people were saying. Like, that guy was a steal. You know, the Blazers couldn't believe he was still available at that spot. And so the unknown there, too, is something I'm looking forward to watch as well.
Absolutely. And Roops, though, sounds a little too close to Jupes, which was James Jones's nickname.
That's right.
James Jones, former Trailblazer, current Suns general manager. So, which I bump into him, it seemed like, once a year at Summer League as well. Actually, right when he got the Phoenix Suns job, I bumped into him at the Whole Foods on the Strip. And we had a nice conversation. I was like, hey, man, that's great. Way to go. And he's like, yeah, man, I appreciate that. So, shout out to
Chopping it up in the produce aisle.
Yeah, exactly. I was, while I'm muling my case of water that I'm bringing with me, which would be my one complaint about this hotel too, is I don't really see where the convenience store is around here. And one of the most important things to do when you get to Las Vegas first is you have to get provisions.
100%.
You have to get water. If you can drink hotel water, particularly this desalinated stuff they have out here in Las Vegas, more power to you. Your boy Casey, lifelong Oregonian, who's only tasted the sweetest nectar of Oregon tap water for the majority of my life. I can't go back. I staunchly cannot drink hotel water.
Nor should you.
Nor should I. And that's even to say, you know, so like, if you see me at leaving the games at Summer League and it looks like my backpack is full of like 50 pounds of comp waters from the NBA media concierge, that is absolutely what's happening. I am taking waters and bringing them back to the hotel. So that's a small little, again, I'm trying to give you all tips if you happen to be coming out to Las Vegas, which there were a number of Blazer fans on my flight from Las Vegas. Shout out to
Kev. I assumed as much.
I saw Kev there as well. Chauncey was on the flight as well. So he was in first class and I was not. So shout out to Chauncey.
And one of our girls, Kim, I was on there because I saw her her tweet. I'm on a certain NBA coach is on my flight. So that's funny. The whole crew was on there. That's interesting. So yeah, that's good. I love it. You know, it doesn't surprise me. I'm the best fans in the NBA. I mean, this is the fact that they get in a plane to go to Vegas and this heat to watch Blazers G League is like the most Blazers fan thing in the world. I'd love it so much.
Hey, well, and I want to take a little bit of credit for that too, because I've been pumped up Summer League for a long time. And particularly like you come on a weekend, you get in Thursday. You can even come in Friday morning, leave Sunday night. You get two games.
Yeah.
One, including the number one pick, which like they've already said that the games are sold out for Friday. So if you're going, like, you got to make sure you come a game before or else you probably won't be able to get in. And the Sunday game versus the Spurs, I don't even know what that's going to look like. Like, I'm almost a little concerned to tell people to show up early because I'm afraid that they still might not get in. But that's why you got us here to be your eyes and ears and ask the important questions about Britney Spears in the postgame.
Still baffled by it all.
Yeah, no, more reporting needs to get done there. I think he's actually addressed the situation, but I think he called her like some woman or something like that. Like he did not give Britney Spears the proper.
What if he doesn't know who Britney Spears is?
I mean, he's 19 from France. Like I'm guessing he probably doesn't know who Britney Spears is. Like, and you know, she had that whole thing where they were keeping her in a cave or something for 10 years. Weirdo parents. Don't
that still isn't that saga isn't over, by the way.
Yeah, well, I hope she ends up winning that one. But
well, I'm just glad I heard this happen, because another controversy out there, or people make up the weirdest stuff, but I read this thing. I took the time out of my life to read the entire article, I don't know, but it was about this group is absolutely positive that Britney Spears, it's not her in the videos.
Right, you were telling me that. Yeah, because there's like a video where like,
yes,
it looked like her face changed or something.
Her sisters. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm just glad to hear that she was seen out and alive.
That's true. Victor Wembanyama getting to the bottom of whether or not there is a doppelganger who they're using to act like it's Britney Spears.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's the good that comes out of that story.
Before we move on, I just want to report too that supposedly Britney Spears says she has received no apology from anybody. If you want to take a stand, man. But I'm just saying, like, you could be doing irreparable damage to your career before it has a chance to even get off the ground by crossing Britney Spears. Like it, others have tried, and they've all failed. Like you don't want to get Federlined, man.
So when they were at their height, you know, he kind of, for some reason, you know how women, we pit women against each other. So we either had to be Team Britney or Team Christina.
Yeah.
I was always Team Christina because I love me Christina, but I came to say, I remember like a conversation like, you know what? I don't have to be one of the, I don't have to be team one, team or team. I like both of them.
That's
and
true.
So I thought I had like stand up for Christina for the longest time. I'm like, I actually really like Britney. So I team both of them. And then they ended up becoming friends. So it was all good in the world. But yeah, it was a whole, like, there were some heated arguments in my house with my girlfriends about that one.
I'm Team Shakira. So
everyone's Team Shakira.
So I will say that, like, if I had to pick, I would go Britney, because does Christina Aguilera have a better voice? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pop music. Like, and pop music is about the performance. It's about the spectacle. And Christina Aguilera is not getting close to Britney's spectacle in like five different ways. So yeah, no, I'm Britney there too. And Britney was first as well. She paved the trail that others such as Christina Aguilera could then go on to walk. So
Yeah, that's true. And maybe one more time. I mean, it's that's wow. I mean, that video changed the world.
None of them are Mariah, but you know, they're all
pretty. Well, Mariah's always will always be my number one. That's my girl. I mean, since day one, I've absolutely loved Mariah. She was the best voice. Whitney, Mariah, Christina, Britney, and I love them all. And Celine. What am I doing here? I could go on for hours.
Celine Dion not getting included in like the top 75 women vocalists, where for whatever that
ridiculous.
Was, it's like, are you nuts? Again, like there are certain acts you can't step to. You cannot come at Celine Dion and deny her space as one of the greatest female vocalists. Like,
not even close.
I talked to you about this. My wife listened to this podcast called The Culture Release Does, and they do like this like long. I don't even know how it got brought up, but they were basically running down like there was an argument about Celine Dion's biggest hits, and like literally they went like 15 deep, and every single one a 43-year-old man is well familiar with. Like every single one, I was like, I know that song, I know that song, I know that song. It's like, yep. You cannot, there is no list of female vocalists, of vocalists without Celine Dion. It's ridiculous.
I completely agree. And there, I mean, the notes she can get to, and Mariah also, obviously, like they did that one test with her, whatever, like, I forget, but the decibel she got to was like, some people couldn't hear it or something.
Sure, yeah.
But Celine, I mean, you just got to listen to her ballads, and it's like no one else can do that. She's just incredible. And the fact that she was denied that list of 75, are you kidding me? I would venture to say,
I don't even know
five.
What the number was, but what I mean, if it's anything more than five, it's too many. Like,
yeah, right.
So,
but to your point about act like the performance of it all for pop music, I totally agree. And even like for an example, Paula Abdul, when that whole crew came through a couple years ago, she clearly did not sing a lick of those songs, but she danced her buns off and was so great. She had, you know, the Scat Cat with the umbrella, doing all the things, and she's an amazing, obviously she started out as a dancer, so I wasn't totally surprised, but you know, she's getting up there. But I didn't expect her to sing any of that. I'm like, that's okay, just keep dancing, you're doing great, sweetie.
Same with JLo. There was that clip of JLo like trying to sing, I think it was at like a Whitney Houston tribute thing, and it was like, yeah, cut it off. And literally, like, I think she says to like the producer, like, can you fix this, because that's not great. I don't even know where we're going with this, but anyways, we should bring it back to the
Trailblazers.
I do actually think Mariah is doing a residency here in Vegas. I know that someone else, yeah, the what's her name, dark-haired California girls,
Katy Perry.
Yeah, she's finishing up her residency here at the
I knew she was there. She'd be fun to, she's a great performer too, and singer. I think she does both. I don't know. I even when I saw Bieber, he sang his ballads because he was just sitting there, right? And then when it came to his like he had a trampoline there, so the guy was like, literally he was doing a workout, so he didn't sing when he was dancing. So I can kind of understand that. Like, I appreciate you really singing the ones that we all know the words to, and we're singing with you, and you know he's really singing it because he's talking to you while he's doing it. And then you get the crazy dancing, he's lip syncing. And honestly, I'm totally fine with that. I'm just impressed that you can do both.
Absolutely. Well, moving on to Trailblazer topics. The NBA's moratorium is over, meaning that free agents can now officially enter into new agreements. Not everything's squared over for the Blazers yet. And some of the stuff hasn't actually happened yet, so I guess we can't say for sure. But one thing that has happened, Ibu Baji and John Butler Jr., as I mentioned, both signed to two-way contracts. All the rookies have been signed to their contracts as well. That stuff you can do during the moratorium. You can also do veteran scale contracts, though I don't think the Blazers have signed any of those yet. But reportedly, they are going to match the offer that was tendered to Matisse Thybulle from the Dallas Mavericks. And reportedly, they are also going to re-sign Jeremy Grant. I would imagine that those things will probably get announced sometime in the next week or so. There might be like an order of operations kind of thing. Sometimes in order to preserve cap space or to make it work the way that you want it to, you have to stagger the deals, and you have to, again, like time out which ones you're doing first. And I don't know if they're just using cap space or bird rights in order to resign Matisse. I don't know if maybe they're using the mid-level. Maybe they can't do that for their own free agents. I actually probably am wrong about that. So long story short, some things getting accomplished on that front. but not a whole lot to report officially just yet. But again, this stuff is out there. And I think people generally know that when certain people report things, they generally are true. So you could probably figure those things out as well. And though we're not going to talk about it a whole lot, it would be odd for us to not make some mention of Damian Lillard and the situation there. Obviously, Joe Cronin acknowledging it and saying that, you know, they had the meeting and, you know, that Dame wants to do something else, but that the plan is still to have a winning team. You know, when something actually does happen there, obviously Brooke and I think can talk about it then. And, you know, I think Bolso's having fairly unique relationships with Dame and with the team. I think that, you know, that's something that I think maybe will be of some value to some people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, long story short, the only thing I'm really comfortable saying now is I just hope that, you know, they can get something figured out where everyone feels all right about it, you know, yeah. And, you know, maybe it's not going to be exactly what everyone wants. I don't know. But I would hope that, you know, after such a long relationship that has generally been a very positive relationship, that, you know, something can get figured out that preserves that relationship. Because, like, you know, I don't think anyone wants anything to happen to where it's like it's acrimony and it lingers and it changes whatever that legacy is, because there's been some really good years and some really exciting times and personally and professionally. So, you know, I hope that whatever happens there, again, it can just be amicable. That's my whole thing, is that, like, obviously everyone's got kind of their desires and their wants, both the team and Dame and his camp. But I just hope they can figure something out where everyone feels all right about it.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're listening now, I would assume you listen to us rather regularly. And so you already know my feelings as well as Casey's on our friendship and our working relationship with Dame over the years. You know, that's something that's been very important to us, and we've been very appreciative of, you know, how well he's worked with us, and like he mentioned, like, work kind of turns into a friendship. It's a long time to be on one team, and you and I are lucky to say we've been with him almost the whole entire time for me, but definitely for you. So I'm not gonna get into all that and then some. So I'm gonna, you know, wait until whatever is going to happen happens, and then we will go into more detail with all of that. But yeah, I hope everyone can at least get close to what they want. And I would also like to thank everyone, whether I know you or not, who has checked in on me on my direct messages over the last week. I appreciate you all.
Yeah, that I would say, you know, I've been talking up Vegas quite a bit here. One thing I'm not looking forward to, I don't want to have discussions about Dame. I don't want to talk about it. When something happens, I'll talk about it then. Right. I don't want to kvetch about it. I don't want to gossip about it. I don't really even want people to ask me my opinion about it. If something happens, I'll deal with it then. Until then, I am perfectly fine just to keep that thing over there and let it figure itself out.
I think you need to put some earphones in the entire time when you leave your room.
I mean, you know, like,
pretend you're talking to someone.
I've mentioned that, like, when I'm at the coast, like, people always come up and talk to me. But I feel like at work stuff, maybe not so much, because, like, my resting mean face is pretty mean. Like, I'm definitely not the kind of person that you'd see a look on my face and be like, oh, I want to talk to that guy. Like, it's more like, yeah, I'm good. Like, sure, if we have to, we have to. But otherwise, let me find someone else who doesn't look like they're plotting my demise. So, like, it's not as big of a deal, but we'll see.
Well, that'll work. This will work for you during this week then. That that's so fun, Casey. No, but I agree with you. Just get to the games, get your work done, go to your three spots around there, and try to, yeah, not have to have any of those conversations. I totally understand. It's something we talk, you know, Casey and I talk not just on this podcast, we talk every day. And that's just something that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry you have to do it.
I had to talk about Dame at the craps table last year too, because there was a guy that was wearing a Warriors shirt and I was wearing a Blazer hat and somehow got to it. Though I won a lot of money that night at the craps table too. So, you know, maybe there's worse things in the world than talking about Dame, regardless of what it's about. So that seems like a decent place to end this edition of the Blazers Balcony. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. Once again, we'll be back next week to have a few Summer League games to discuss. Maybe more updates on Britney Spears and her relationship.
We better have an update.
hopefully there's an update there. Maybe they'll do something at halftime of the game on Sunday to kind of paper things over. Who's to say? Be on the lookout for that. I'm going to be here, like I said, writing stuff and recording podcasts by myself that we don't talk about. And Brooke and I will probably get one more in here before I head back to town as well. But should be exciting. Once again, Friday, 4 o'clock versus the Rockets. Sunday, 5 o'clock versus the Spurs. Tuesday, July 11th at 5:30 versus the Charlottes. I can't say that right. And Thursday, the 13th versus Orlando, 6 o'clock. ESPN, ESPN2, NBA TV, ESPN2. Check it out. Should be a good time. So for myself, for Brooke, thank you for joining us in this edition. We'll talk to you next week. Brooklyn.
Peace out.